This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin's Take, the good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
I can probably take it through that point, says Jaden Daniels.
Oh, it's wide open.
Wide open, and the catch is made. Olamide Zaccheaus cruises inside the 30 of the Giants.
So that play, which came right before the two-minute warning, the Giants still had all three timeouts. It was a 27-22 game. You know, I don't know about you guys. I think I have this sense that a lot of you were like, yeah, they're not going to lose this game. You know, 24-16, they're not going to lose this game. 27-22, nah, because they'll just keep the ball on offense. Like, you know, the other team has to get the ball back to score without Washington scoring. And, of course, they didn't get another chance with the ball. But that play before the two-minute warning was a second-and-9 play that they snapped with 2:05 left. This is all on Brian Daboll and Cliff Kingsbury. Brian Daboll not using his timeouts after the first down play, which was a one-yard run by Rodriguez, is, you know, clock management malpractice. You always use them prior to the two-minute warning on defense. And by not using it and allowing the clock to tick down to 2:05, gave Washington, and I don't know this to be true, but if Washington had a run call and switched to a throw because there's no penalty, if you will, for throwing the ball before the two-minute warning because an incomplete pass is going to stop the clock just like the two-minute warning will, well, then Kingsbury is playing chess right now. Because that was brilliant. Of course, on 2nd and 9 there, you throw the football. You're not trying to run the football and get them to take timeouts. My sense is they probably had a throw called anyway. The Giants had 10 almost in the box. It was a solid 9 in the box to stop the run. But it's just such a stupid handling of the clock by Daboll. Just moronic for so many different reasons. Lost time if you do get the ball back. Secondly, this opportunity that they gave Washington, which I think they were going to throw it anyway. I think they basically had 9 in the box were throwing it, 8 or 9 in the box were throwing it, lighter box were running it, but you knew they were going to be heavy in the box because they were expecting run. But with 2:05 left, there's no punishment to throwing the football. An incomplete pass doesn't matter. The clock's stopping anyway after the play. Just so stupid. And, I mean, Zaccheaus gets behind. They're basically only, you know, two players in coverage. Great play. That didn't ice the game, technically, because the Giants still had three timeouts. But, again, the offense just too good. They don't get stopped. All right. My game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, a few other observations. We'll certainly give all of you guys a chance to weigh in. 7-2 for the first time since 96, 28 years. This is the thing that's, I think, most jarring to so many is that when they have actually had competent seasons, the competence came late in the season. So you basically got rushed into enjoying it at the very end when they made these, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 game win streaks, because we haven't had, you know, in early November and October or September with a good football team in so long. 2016 was really the one team. 2018 to a certain degree, although that felt kind of fraudulent. 2016, they were pretty dynamic offensively, and they were 6-3-1, you know, heading into Thanksgiving in Dallas. But this is a lot of fun to watch. All right, what I liked. Start with the offense. You know, no Brian Robinson Jr. You know, the other game in which they didn't have him against Baltimore was a game in which I'm not sure they really had a plan to run the ball anyway. Today they did. Today the quarterback was involved very much in the run game. And this is where I kind of want to start, and I'll kind of come back to, you know, how good they were offensively. But you saw a game yesterday in which both quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels and Daniel Jones, created 11-on-11 football. And I've talked about this a lot, but in 2012, I'll never forget a conversation with Mike Shanahan one day, and he said, the reason you do this and the reason, and it hasn't happened because people fear for quarterback safety, et cetera, but the biggest benefit that a lot of people don't really explain or don't really understand is the quarterback isn't handing the football to somebody, which then becomes 10-on-11 football with the quarterback not in the play. With the quarterback in the play, it's 11-on-11. And both teams, you saw yesterday the benefits to an offense when the quarterback is a legit threat in the run game, especially in the zone read slash read option game, however you want to describe it. And when you have a quarterback that is a good decision maker, a good ball handler, and a good runner, of course, and he is presented as a run threat on most plays, and so the snap from the beginning for the defense looks like, uh-oh, this could be a potential quarterback option or a quarterback run. Everything around it is better. You know, the backs, watch the holes that they have when the quarterback puts the defense in conflict. When he puts that outside, you know, end in that, you know, do I play the quarterback or do I crash down and play the runner? Look at what's available to the runners. We've seen this. We saw it in 2012. We've seen it for the last 12 years. Those idiots back in 2012 that told you, that referred to it as the Wildcat and said, you know, it's just a fad, didn't understand it because they weren't college football fans. And they didn't understand the benefit of having a quarterback involved in the run game. Of course there's risk. There's risk for a quarterback in the pocket, too. And you know what zone read slash read option football does? It makes play action passing so much more effective. The offensive line benefits. The receivers benefit. Because it looks like it might be a run. It might be the back that gets the ball. It might be the quarterback that pulls it. And instead, it's play action, and everybody's taking a step forward, and now there are big holes behind that second layer of the defense. It just keeps the defense in such constant conflict. Washington struggled yesterday with the Giants' dual threat attack with Daniel Jones. Offensively, you know, another incredibly productive day. You know, they didn't quite get to their average points per game, which is like 28.5 or 29, in part, or the average yards per game, in part because they have had some of these games that have been very low possession count games. They only had 8 drives, and they scored, you know, on 5 of them. Technically, they had 5 scores and 7 drives because their 8th drive, if they wanted to score, they could have, but they, you know, ate the clock up and took 3 knees at the Giant 1-yard line. But 27 points, 358 yards. They were 5 for 12 on third down, 2 for 2 on fourth down. You know, as I mentioned, the points per drive, the points per play, everything is just top levels of the NFL in those stats that are representative of an efficient and dominant offense. You know, their points per drive, they may not be as explosive as the Lions or as Baltimore, but they just rarely come off the field after they come onto the field without leaving with more points on the board. You know, that's kind of the goal, right? The offense goes on the field. We need points. That's what they do. Even without Brian Robinson Jr. yesterday, they ran the ball effectively. And, you know, it was a lot of Eckler and Rodriguez. I'll get to the players specifically in this game that I really liked. But a lot of it is just because the Giants didn't know if number five was going to pull it. You know, a lot of those plays, it's really hard to know for sure if it's a true read option. If the quarterback has the option of pulling it, every play looks like it, you know, when he sticks it in the gut of the running back. A lot of times it's not truly a zone read, but it's really hard. That's really something the coaches know. Sometimes it's, you know, there's not an option to give it. It's supposed to be a pull with a lead blocker. But a lot of that is really for the offensive coordinator and the offensive players to understand. The defense thinks the quarterback may pull it every single time he sticks it in the gut of that running back. By the way, so, you know, they were technically yesterday 3-for-6 in the red zone. So much better red zone day than the week 2, 21-18 win over the Giants when they were 0-for-6 in the red zone and they kicked 7 field goals. You know what shouldn't count, honestly, is a game, is a drive into the red zone where you then knee out the clock at the end of the game. But they count it. They counted that as a red zone stop. So really it's 3-for-5 in the red zone because, you know, they took 3 knees at the 1-yard line. All right, let's get to some specific players from the game. We start with the quarterback. You know, as I mentioned, 15 of 22 for 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. The rushing yards, if you take the 3 knees out of it, I think it ends up being like 5 times for 37 yards. So, you know, over 7 yards per carry. Really good decisions. You know, a couple of the plays that I marked down that, you know, you could nitpick a bit. I thought there were a couple of zone read decisions where he, you know, either should have left it in the gut of the running back or pulled it. The one that really stood out, it was their third drive in the first half. It was a 2nd-and-1 play at the Giant 12-yard line. I think it was Brian Burns who was playing on the edge. And Burns played quarterback, and Jaden kept it. You know, he usually has a very good feel, and the decisions are usually right. I can think of a couple in the Tampa game where I thought he made the wrong call. But more times than not, he makes the right call. That was a play that stood out as probably not the right decision. I think there was one also earlier in the game where he should have pulled it, and it was a low yardage run for the running back. You know, there were a couple of throws that I'm sure he'd like to have back. One of them was a completion. First half, there's a 1st-and-10, 16-yard completion to Noah Brown. Was not a great throw. He had another on one of the third down stops. But overall, I mean, Jaden was, you know, 5-to-1 basically on good plays to, you know, questionable nitpick plays. The deep shot that drew the DPI, you know, there's a crosser with a tight end. God, man, some of their jerseys that they wear, it's hard to identify the numbers. But he took the deep shot. He will, you know, he throws a great deep ball. That ball's got a shot, but they drew the DPI, so that set up the first touchdown. The first touchdown pass is a great throw. I mean, it's a slant to Terry, who wins immediately, but the coverage is still there, so the ball's got to be low. It's got to be only in a spot where the receiver can catch it. Can't put the ball in harm's way when you decide to throw it on 2nd-and-goal from the 1. The ball is out quickly. It's decisive. It's perfect with accuracy. And he's definitely got trust in Terry, man, that he puts a ball anywhere near him, Terry will catch it. Third drive of the first half, there's a read option keeper for 9 yards and a really, you know, a very effective slide. You know, he's got a slide that looks great, and then there was one where he had kind of an awkward play, and that was on the scramble when he ducked the safety blitz. There's a 4th-and-1 where he just – it's – on 4th-and-1, if you get your quarterback out on the edge in a run-pass option with this guy, it's just almost impossible to stop. Because, first of all, I don't know that even when it's played well defensively that they can stop him from running for a yard. They just can't tackle him in open space. He's one of the most elusive open field runners in the game. That one was easy. Hit Noah Brown, who's really, I mean, it's close call on who his second favorite receiver after Terry is, if it's Ertz or Noah Brown. But Noah Brown gets separation. He made a great catch, by the way, on a little bootleg drop-off where he got nailed second half of the game. But the one I'm talking about is that fourth drive first half. It was second and 11, second and 12. They overcome those all the time with chunk plays. That was a 31-yarder. The touchdown pass to Terry at the end of the first half, I mean, what can you say? It's just a perfect throw. And it's also a great catch. You know, we've seen so many of those this year going back to the Cincinnati game, you know, and at the end. But that touchdown pass is a ball that's got to be out quickly. It's got to be accurate. It's got to be in a place where only Terry can catch it inbounds for a touchdown, that the defender doesn't have a shot. I don't know what the Giants were doing defensively. There are 11 seconds left in the half. Washington's got no timeouts. The ball was, where was that touchdown from Denton? Was that the 18-yard line?
It was a 19-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah. What are you doing with Deonte Banks, their worst cover corner in recent weeks, on Terry McLaurin? If there was help, it wasn't executed well. I mean, you're playing everything underneath you in that situation. Dable's not good at kind of situational football. I actually like a lot of what they do schematically on offense, and I think he actually gets the most out of what they have offensively because they're limited. But what are you doing? And, you know, you've got to understand, how many timeouts do they have? That should be your first, you know, question to somebody on the headset. They're at the 19-yard line, 11 seconds to go. They're going to they have to throw it into the end zone, or they got to throw it out of bounds. We're not going to let them score. We'll let them throw a quick out, maybe, and then take one more shot. By the way, the other thing you do defensively on that first play, you hold. You hold. You don't let anybody get a free release. Take a 5-yard automatic first down penalty to burn 6 seconds left. Now they got to make a decision. Are you going to kick the field goal from the 14, or are you going to go for it? You're going to kick the field goal. Horrible situational football. And at the same time, just a great throw. Second half, the play that I talked about, the 16-yard run on the safety blitz, where it's just almost like unfair. You're not going to have a free shot at this guy. By the way, he has such recognition pre-snap, too, of where the pressure's coming and whether or not that ball's got to be out quickly or not. That was the one play where he kind of went down a little bit awkwardly. I think he was thinking for a second, I might be able to get more. Had a third and one play action from under center to Sinnott. You know, when he's under center, he's also incredibly effective. Like, when he's under center and you can run some of that play action, and you can run some of that, what, you know, the Shanahans call quarterback keeper, we call bootleg, and you get him out on the edge with the defense moving in one direction and him coming back the other, that's, like, unfair. What else do I have here? They had a couple throwaways that were impressive, actually. He had a third and nine before a field goal on the third drive of the second half. He had another... No, that wasn't a third and nine. I'm sorry. He had a third and four, sorry, on their second drive of the second half where he threw it away. That was before the field goal that made it 24-10. He had another one before the field goal that made it 27-16. I don't think anything was there. The third and nine throw to Eckler after they had made the score 24-16 and they needed a drive, and the Giants were about to potentially... It was 24-16, excuse me. It was the drive that ended 27-16. Third and nine, that's one of those where you've got more coming than you have blockers, and he's got to drift, and he's got to be patient, and he waits for Eckler to clear and then throws a strike, and it turns into a 28-yard catch and run. I mean, that's not a lot of quarterbacks are making that play. You know, that's not an in-the-pocket step up. That's a drift, patient, and then a little bit of a flick. Yeah, I mean, and then the throw that we talked about to Zacchaeus before the two-minute warning. I would imagine that was a called play, that they didn't just switch it to a pass because the Giants were letting them, giving free license to them to throw the football with 2:05 left on the clock. Jaden was an A. I mean, clearly, he was an A player yesterday again. I mean, it's an A to an A-plus every week. I mean, I don't even know what to give. I'm just going to just say A. I mean, I don't even know what a B-plus performance would look like at this point. I guess the Tampa game, right? You know, his very first game as an NFL player. That was, I think I gave him a B that day, Denton. Because I said, look, all the offense they generated were, you know, was basically because of him. On the list of things that I like, Terry McLaurin. I mean, he only had 2 catches for 19 yards. He's now got six touchdowns on the year. His career best is 7 in his rookie season. So he's at 6 through 9 games. I think he's having a Pro Bowl season. We got to think about all the NFC wide receivers. Terry's been outstanding this year. He's had incredible contested catches. He has become incredibly trustworthy for this young quarterback because he knows if he puts it anywhere near the right spot, Terry will fight and haul it in. The touchdown catch, both of them were outstanding catches. Man, I loved Chris Rodriguez yesterday. I've liked Rodriguez since they drafted him, and he played in the preseason, and he played in some of the regular season games last year. I think he runs with great vision, great pads. He is great yards after contact. What was he yesterday? 10 for 51, 11 for 52 in the game. I mean, that last, you know, opportunity, the first and 10 at the 11, wasn't first and goal. You know, that's a hard, you know, get a first down, take 3 knees situation, and he almost scored on the play that he got the first down on. But that's just impressive to be able to, against a team that's down by 5, and you've got a first and 10 at the 11, and you go Rodriguez, you know, 3 times for a first down to set up 3 knees on a condensed field when they know you're going to run the football. And it's a great job by the offensive line as well. I thought Eckler was incredibly effective in the game, you know, like he was in that Baltimore game. You know, so was McNichols in that Baltimore game, if my memory serves me correctly. But, you know, Eckler had 11 for 42, but also had 3 catches for 41. Also had a kickoff return for 35 yards. More on the special teams coming up here in a moment. I thought Noah Brown was really good. That catch that he made where he took that big hit, I think from Pinnock, was so impressive. And I also, offensively, the De'Ami Brown 3rd-and-18 check down run was outstanding. Yeah, the Giants didn't tackle well there, no doubt. That is a 3rd-and-18 play. All right, from where you're just trying to get better field goal range for Austin Seibert to go up 17-7 at half. They check it down to De'Ami Brown, and Simmons and Jackson and others are up there. And he threw a stiff arm out there that got separation. It was a physical, big-time run after catch. You know, part of it's on the Giants for bad tackling, but a lot of that is on De'Ami Brown. 24-yard play on 3rd-and-18 on a check down, where you're just trying to improve your field goal position. And that gave them the opportunity, you know, to throw the touchdown pass on the next play. Big difference, 4-point difference. 17-7 at half, you know, versus 21-7 at half. By the way, turns out pretty significant in the game. You know, if the Giants weren't going for 2. What else on the list of things that I liked? Okay, defensively, it was not a good day for the defense, and I'll get to that when I get to the list of things that I did not like. But there were a few performances that stood out. I thought Fowler Jr.'s, he had two more sacks. He's got 6.5 on the year. He's got a very good first step. He's got multiple moves, and he's relentless. He also was the one that caused the fumble early in the game, which there's a whole lot about that play that I want to get to when we come back and talk about the things that I didn't like in some of the other observations. But I thought he stood out. I thought Chin's performance. Chin had that stop on the first 3rd and 3 on the opening drive for the Giants. He had the -6 on Wandell Robinson. He really sniffs out screens well. Look, this defense plays fast. They play with great hustle, with great pursuit. They just have some issues in some spots. But I thought that Chin, let me go down my list here. I thought Chin was good. Chin stood out. Fowler stood out. Dorrance Armstrong really stood out to me. I think Armstrong is a good combined pass rusher and run stopper. They didn't do a great job against the run, but I like Armstrong a lot. Inside, Newton a little bit, Payne a little bit, Mathis a little bit. But overall, not a great day for the defense. Lastly, on the things that I liked list, special teams, man. Washington's special teams, their kicker is unbelievable. Seriously, think about post week one. Here we go again with a kicker, and Austin Seibert's just been incredible all season long. And in the Meadowlands, not an easy place to kick. Their punt coverage and kickoff coverage, top rate. And it's just one player after another. It's like Reeves, it's Ballor, it's Walker, it's Owens. There's a real, camaraderie. A lot of times the best teams in the league have really good special teams, and you see the culture kind of play out on special teams sometimes more than you do anywhere else. And then Eckler's dangerous as a kickoff returner. And Zacchaeus is a decent punt returner. One last quick kind of kudos to the team yesterday. When you win a game like they did last week, on one of the more memorable plays in franchise history, certainly in recent franchise history, man, I don't know, 7 times out of 10, it's a letdown. You're ripe for that proverbial trap game, whatever you want to call it. And, they won the game. They didn't give one right back. And, it got a little bit dicey. The Giants hung in there yesterday. They did. But I give the coaching staff and those players a lot of credit after the emotion of last week to play the way they did yesterday, especially on offense, and to get a win over a division opponent on the road to get to 7-2. All right, what I didn't like and more. Denton will weigh in as well.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, calls next hour. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.